Our first reading is from Psalm 85, verses 9 through 13. See how close his salvation is to those who fear him. Our country is home base for glory. Love and truth meet in the street. Right living and whole living embrace and kiss. Truth sprouts green from the ground. Right living pours down from the skies. Oh yes, God gives goodness and beauty. Our land responds with bounty and blessing. Right living strides out before him and clears a path for his passage. And our second reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Jesus called the 12 to him and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority and power to deal with the evil opposition. He sent them off with these instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And no luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. And if you are not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. Then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent the demons packing. They brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies and healing their spirits. That concludes today's readings.
Today in the reading of the Gospel, we learn that the disciples of Jesus were sent out two by two to share the message that he had for them to share. And they shared good news all around the area. There is a wonderful parable. In it, a certain man dies and he arrives at the pearly gates where St. Peter meets him. And St. Peter says, as keeper of the gates, it's my duty to inform you that you must score 1,000 points before you can pass through the gates of paradise. So Peter says to him, tell me something about yourself. And the man replies, well, until I was 21 years old, I never missed Sunday school, and I always willingly helped my parents with the household chores. Very good, said St. Peter. That's worth 1 point. Tell me more about yourself. As an adult, I never missed church on Sunday unless I was sick in bed. Very good. That's worth another point. Now you have 2 points. On the job, I always did an honest day's work. I never told lies or cheated anyone. Wonderful. Now you have 3 points. I always tried to live according to the golden rule, and I gave 10% of my earnings to the church. Wonderful. Now you have 4 points. Tell me more about yourself. Well, the man was becoming quite irritated. He says, listen, St. Peter, you're making this impossible for me. I'll never score enough points. The only way I'll ever get into heaven is by the grace of God. That's it. You've got it. Grace. That's 1,000 points, giving you a grand total of 1,004. Come on in. I know that we stop to think that it's only by the grace of God that we have come into this world. Sometimes we think it's only by the grace of God we've lasted this long. Only by the grace of God can we enter the good life for which we are created. That is the whole point of the New Testament story, which we call salvation, the gospel. When we open ourselves up to God's intimate presence in our own lives, in our very being, not just around the periphery, but in the center, the source of power and vitality to give life real meaning and purpose, wells up from within and moves us into a whole new style of living. In this style of living, you feel unburdened. You feel liberated from things in your life that were pinning you down and keeping you prisoner. You feel an overwhelming kind of joy that you can't really contain, and it's hard to explain to anybody. And you have to let it spill over into the world and into other people's lives, because it is the best thing that ever happened to you. It's what we call amazing grace. We have been saved by grace, says the New Testament writer. But now there's a condition. There's a catch to it. The grace of God means something like this. Here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because God wants you to be part of the party. And here is the world all around. Beautiful, terrible things will happen. But the grace of God means that God is saying, don't be afraid. Don't fear. I am with you. I am for you. I will never abandon you. Nothing can separate us. I love you. But there is a condition. Like any other gift, my gift of love is yours only if you can reach out and accept it. Many of us, I'm sure, have seen the bumper sticker that has the words on it, faith is the answer, to which many of us may respond, that's good, but what are the questions? If faith is the answer, what are the questions? What does it mean to be nice? What does it mean to be a good person? What does it mean to live the good life? What does it mean to be a real Christian? Those kinds of questions, maybe, which can be asked in many different ways than this, are the real questions to which faith is the answer. And by the grace of God, Jesus spells it out for us in the gospel so that we can understand. Well, I heard a story about a little boy who went into the grocery store and asked the clerk for a box of Dove detergent. The clerk said, son, what do you want that detergent for? And the little boy said, I want to wash my dog. The clerk said, well, son, that Dove detergent's pretty strong for washing a little dog. And the little boy said, that's what I want. The clerk said, all right. And he sold him the Dove and said, now you be careful when you wash your dog. The detergent is very strong. It might kill him. The little boy said, I'll be careful. He took the box of detergent home. About a week later, the little boy came back to the store. The clerk recognized him and he said, son, how's your dog? And the little boy said, I'm afraid he's dead. And the store clerk said, oh, I'm sorry, but I did try to warn you that that does was very strong stuff. And the little boy shook his head and he said, I don't think it was the does that did it. I think it was the rinse cycle that got him. Now, here was a little boy who knew the answer, you see, but he really didn't know how to ask the right questions. His answer was, does. Does it. But the real question was, how do you wash your dog? He never asked that question. He just put the dog in the washing machine and turned it on. Well, this happens at various levels of life. When the real questions never get asked, it's always somebody's got an answer. But what was the question? There's a real disconnect all around life, around the world and in our own country, because of this very issue. And what does a church exist for? What is our true purpose in the Christian life? What does it really take to succeed in life as a person? Do people get married and then not ask, what does it mean to be a married person? Well, I've married a lot of people, and I know there are some that do. They get married and they don't ask, what does it mean to succeed in life as a married person? And I can tell you, if they don't find out, they don't stay married very long. Do people go through life and never ponder the question, who am I anyway? Where did I come from, or what am I supposed to do with my life? And today we ask, what are the real questions to which faith is the answer? In the letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament, the writer begins by telling his readers, most of whom are Gentiles rather than Jews, that they were chosen by God. That is to say, there are now people in the church that has been started. And Paul says to them that they were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. And they are to see themselves as destined in love to be God's children and family, so that they will see how freely God has given them the gift of inclusion in His plan for the fullness of time. That is, to unite all things in Himself, things in heaven and things on earth, all part of the plan from the beginning. A man about my age was lost in the supermarket. You know how big those stores are. So he went up to a beautiful woman in one of the aisles, and he said to her, "Can I talk to you?" "Why," she asked, "why do you want to talk to me?" "Well," he said, "I've lost my wife. And every time I start talking to someone who's beautiful like you, she shows up out of nowhere." Now, I want to tell you, this is just a story. I've never tried this myself. I don't really want to say that I'm recommending it to you as a strategy. But people have tried more desperate things than this when they are lost. And Paul is telling the people that they can celebrate because they have been included from the beginning in God's eternal plan, and they are not lost. They are chosen to be included through Christ from the beginning. It's a matter of grace, God's gift, before they even knew about it. It was our destiny. It is our future. Through God's love in Christ, we are holy and blameless before God. And that's all that counts. If God says it is by His grace, that's it. You don't have to second guess. Who are you going to second guess? You can't second guess God. His grace has made it that way from the beginning. I know a lot of us have been taught wrong, but I'm not here to try to argue about that. I'm affirming grace from the beginning. Unexpected, unknown to many, but here with us today, the grace of God, the eternal gift of God's unfailing love for us. Jesus says, If you refuse to believe me, at least believe in the works I do. Then you will know for sure that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. To believe in the works that I do, as Jesus says, is to discover the New Testament answer to these questions. What does it mean to be nice? What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to be a good Christian? The answer is, there is no goodness, no good life, no Christian lifestyle apart from God's freely given love. By the grace of God, love is the answer. Love is the pearl of great price. Love is the most awesome gift of God. And it's yours, and it's mine. Just reach out, accept it, let it in, believe it, give it a good hard try every day. Don't resist. Don't be afraid. You're not going to get hurt. You can always reassert your personal will and go back to your old ways. But you can let it in. St. Paul once said in the letter to the Romans, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." Well, I went to the zoo. And I was walking around looking, and then I came upon an eagle in a cage. And I marveled at the eagle's powerful, beautiful feathered wings. And you know how powerful and grand that bird is. And those wings are meant for flying. But as I stood there, I remembered the words from St. Paul's letter. And then, half aloud, I was thinking to myself, this eagle is made for the skies, and it's crammed into a cage. And then I recalled the words of Soren Kierkegaard, whom I read a couple times. He told the story of a wild duck flying south for the winter. And this story has been used more than once, and maybe you've even heard it. While in flight, the duck looked down, saw a great pile of corn stacked up in the barnyard below. After swooping down for a closer look, it decided to spend the winter in the barnyard eating corn for free. For months it did nothing but overindulge its own appetite. And then when spring came, the wild duck looked up and saw the other wild ducks flying north. But when it tried to join them, it couldn't get off the ground. It had become so out of shape that it was unable to be what it was made to be. Made for the skies. But now the wild duck was trapped in the barnyard. It was a prisoner of its own indulgence. Its own greed in getting something for nothing that it shouldn't have had in the first place. And the ensuing laziness engendered by all of that garbage. It was crammed in a cage that it made itself. Its self-indulgence, its own greed, and its laziness prevented it from being what it was made to be. And it can prevent us from being what we are made to be. It will prevent us from entering into that risky life of love because it's easier to sit around self-satisfied and pretend everything's fine when it isn't. It means we're letting the world squeeze us into its mold. And you know that mold changes depending on somebody else's bottom line. You need to be aware that that's what the world around you is trying to do. And it uses everything it can to get you to be seduced, to be content to live like the wild duck in the barnyard. and never get off the ground again. As long as we remain in the cage that we make, we will be unable to get off the ground spiritually. We will defend what we have become unless somehow we can see that there is a life that we are made to live that we must reach out for and accept. In today's reading from the Gospel, Jesus sends the disciples out in pairs to proclaim the good news of his offer of new life. So they set off to preach repentance, it says. Now, repentance isn't just getting forgiven of past sins. It's getting that new perspective. It's giving up an old way of seeing things and seeing life differently. It's a new outlook, a fresh beginning. That is to say, by the grace of God, this offer of new life in Christ is available to you and me each day. We have to make a new decision today. It will begin immediately. And we will be unable to accept it unless you make a decision that you need to change something in your life that you've been putting off. To fly free of the mold that the world is squeezing you into. At the celebration of the 200th anniversary of a church, the preacher told of several remodelings of the building that had taken place over the years. And one remodeling involved the construction of a new steeple with a bell in it. We're not going to do that now. When the job was done, a man went up into the belfry and stood on his head. I'm not advocating anybody to do that. And his feet were pointed up toward the skies. Nothing more is known about that man, but in that one crazy act, he dramatized the meaning of new life in Jesus. Accept the awesome gift of grace, and everything gets turned topsy-turvy. The early Christians were known as those who were turning the world upside down. And so, the disciples set off to preach repentance. They were saying, cast off all traces of that life that the world has squeezed you into, and take on the kind of life that you were made for from the very beginning. By the grace of God, we can do it. By the grace of God, we can break out of complacency and stand on our spiritual head, so to say, and enter into that life of love which God is offering. So risky, perhaps, but not more than we can bear, and so rewarding that we will never, ever go back. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your love, which is everlasting, and that you are with us and we live and dwell in you every day, and you're around us now. And within us, we pray that we may recognize your presence. We pray that we may recognize your care and love for us. And that we will respond in joy and hope and faith and love because of your good grace where it all begins. Amen.